Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it
welcome
big.
Back to another like Stampede Blue an Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Mainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. So we are continuing with our positional breakdowns. Sort of looking at the Colts, who they've got up for free agency, what the position looks like currently with the guys that will be on the roster, and what the rest of the NFL free agency pool at that position or along that position looks like. We've done the offense. We're getting into the defense today. We're going to start with the D-line. Going to kind of look at it as a whole, kind of like we did with the offensive line. There are some pieces in here that the Colts have that could be for the future. There's also some questionable ones, you know, whether they bring guys back, whether they fill them with other people. So this will be a fun group to kind of look over here. Just a reminder, as always, make sure you guys are getting to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Those help a ton. And just continue to support Stampede Blue because we've got a lot of things coming. We're going to bring the draft guide back this year. We've started working on that a little bit. So that's going to be a lot of fun for us in the future. We're going to try to continue to do as many shows as possible, try to give you guys as many angles. We know that the NFL season kind of never stops, it seems, whether it's free agency, heading into the combine, and all that good stuff before the draft. So, I mean, we've got a lot of things coming up that we're going to be able to cover, so it should be a good time. But let's jump into the Colts and their free agent pool, what they've got, who are free agents at the end of this year. And we've got kind of a small group, but kind of an interesting group. Okay, Marcus Hunt, obviously a really good season last year with 5 sacks. You know, the year before, it playing in a different position almost even, kind of has to show you this guy's versatility, I think. I mean, he isn't young. He's 32, but the guy has been largely healthy for the Colts. He was, you know, very productive. I mean, 30 tackles this past year and was kind of able to combine between a run stopper and an interior pass rusher a little bit, where they originally thought at the year that they were probably going to play him at the defensive end slot. Instead, he moved inside quite a bit, brought a little bit of versatility between the power and kind of, you know, the quick off the snap jump too. We saw him get in the backfield very quickly, occasionally showing some burst. So he was fun to watch. I want to come back to him though, because I'm still kind of torn on him. And the other guys, in my opinion, are a little easier to depict here in terms of where we expect them or what we expect from them, if anything at all, for the Colts. So let me move on to Al Woods real quick. We'll come back to Hunt. Al Woods, 32 years old, also played a lot of that zero tech, that one tech in this 4-3, and basically was part of the run-stopping thing, you know, duo, so to speak, for a long time. Hassan Ridgeway was big in there against the run as well. But as they started to move Hunt in and out, they moved some other guys in and out of that defensive line position. Al Woods just kind of found himself, you know, I mean, fairly productive overall, 24 tackles on the year. Didn't get a ton of interior pressure, did cause some stir-ups, you know, but that's about it. For what the Colts are trying to do, and this is why I kind of wanted to come back to Hunt, because I think he's a little bit of a different case. For what the Colts are wanting to do, a 32-year-old nose guard, more or less, is not really – it doesn't present that off-the-ball, explosive, can break the interior of the offensive line and get some interior pressure on the quarterback and immediate up the pocket. I just don't see that from Al Woods enough, in my opinion, to presume that the Colts are going to want to keep him around or bring him back. I just don't see it. I just don't. I see this as a position, especially his position, where they are going to probably go elsewhere, either through free agency or the draft. Now, he just, 32 years old, like I said, played 14 games last year. So, I mean, he was active quite a bit, but He's unrestricted. I don't personally believe that he made as much of an impact on the defensive side of the ball for any reason, whether it be the run stopping or the interior pass rush. I just didn't see enough from him, in my opinion, to warrant the Colts wanting to bring him back. I think they'll try to fill that either with guys already on the roster or with, you know, the like I said, the draft or free agency. So let's move on. Jihad Ward, 25 years old, did hit IR this year, but was productive in only 6 games. Okay. I mean, not a lot of tackles, but 3 sacks, had 6 quarterback hits. I mean, that's averaging 1 a game. That's pretty impressive. You know, this guy played a little bit, mostly on the defensive end, but and for a third year guy, this is just really was fun to see what he could do and what he was able to pull off. Where he just wasn't a guy I think that a lot of people thought was going to do anything. I mean, we saw a little bit of Carroll Phillips is in there as well, but I just saw Jihad Ward, who, I mean, technically defensive end, but did move inside and play some of that D tackle spot. You know, 6'5", 290, he's not one of the biggest guys, but he has that ability to be the explosive guy. And I just thought it was, you know, really fun to kind of watch him and see if the Colts were really going to go and keep him around. I think that they will. I think that they'll keep Jihad Ward. Now, I say they'll re-sign him. Extremely cheap. Doesn't have a ton of probably suitors. You know, I mean, he's not going to be a big move. But I think that he's a guy that you bring back, most definitely. I mean, you're looking for this. This is what you're wanting, right? You want guys who are versatile, young, show the explosion, strong enough, powerful in the hands to be able to make an impact, whether it be on the edge or on the interior. And Jihad Ward, in my opinion, did that. Plus, he was a good run, good against the run. So I think Jihad Ward would be a smart, I mean, even a very wise re-sign here. And he's unrestricted, so it's not like the Colts have any kind of a hold on him. But Jihad Ward, to me, would make sense. And it's again, this we look at this, especially these guys, as if we're going into training camp. You're not whittling down your roster to six, eight guys for basically the entire defensive line. There's going to be 10, 12, 13 guys there on the defensive line who are all going to try and make that. Maybe not that quite that many, but you get the picture. There's a lot of guys fighting for spots in the preseason, in training camp. Why not bring back a guy that's got some familiarity, that proved that he could play after coming up from the practice squad earlier in the season and could be productive? You know, it's not just that he looked like he belonged. It was that he was productive and he looked like he belonged. And he's 25 years old. And, you know, he's got, like I said, he's got some good size to him. I mean, 6'5", 290, that's kind of what you're looking for in this bunch, I think. I mean, there just isn't a lot of guys that can say probably that they came in basically being nobodies and were productive within this scheme. And I think a lot of that goes to the coaching staff. I think a lot of that goes towards what they've been trying to build, what they're actually doing with this scheme here. I mean, because you've got Tyquan Lewis in there who's not quite as tall and not quite as heavy, and he's explosive too, but you've got Ward who is bigger, and I won't say he's as explosive, especially from the interior probably, but, I mean, damn near. I mean, so to me, that's a cheap re-sign this offseason, and it makes complete and total sense in my opinion. So let's go on with the next one. Geno Grissom played in 4 games, apparently had 1 tackle. I don't know what to say about that. Maybe they don't. He didn't do much. I mean, so it's not like any of us have a real good gauge on what Geno Grissom can bring to the Colts. He is 27 years old. That's kind of on that borderline. You know, if we got other guys who are more talented and that, you know, we have more familiarity with, there's a pretty good chance Geno Grissom's on the outs. So I'm not too worried about that. You know, that he just doesn't strike me as a guy that the Colts would worry too much about bringing back, quite honestly, at all. And so with that, that's the only guys that the Colts have along the defensive line right now that are technically free agents. Looking at the roster right now, you know, I'm going to get rid of Geno Grissom. Look at Al-Kadeem Muhammad, 6'4", 23 years old, proved that he belonged this year as well. Kamoko Ture, rookie, obviously going to be second-year player next year, a little lighter, kind of like Muhammad. Doesn't quite have the power that Muhammad does for the same size type guy, but he's got that explosion, and that's what they're looking for. So you've got kind of the two guys built very similar. Both, you know, Kadeem Muhammad could even kick inside occasionally, not often, but it was for speed. But they, you know, they like what these two guys are bringing right now off the edge. And you've got a little bit of a mix there. So that's fun and interesting. Jabal Sheard, obviously the veteran, 29 years old right now, and probably in the last year, in my opinion, that he'll be with the Colts. But he brings that power right now that, you know, a lot of the guys aren't bringing. So you have to consider that. Moving on to Grover Stewart. Grover Stewart and Hassan Ridgeway, I'll kind of put these two in the same basket because they were both basically the run-stopping group. Neither one of these guys were pass rushers this year on rundowns and on run situational plays. Grover Stewart and Hassan Ridgeway were the two interior defensive linemen. And I don't know that they've really proven that they're uncuttable by any stretch of the imagination, either one of them. But you think that the Colts are probably in, are wanting to continue to develop Grover Stewart. Hassan Ridgeway, I'm kind of iffy on. Not so much that I don't think that he's any good. It's not that. I just don't know if he kind of fits in what the Colts are wanting to do. I didn't feel that he was good enough this past year to warrant, you know, that he's a specified run stopper, nor did I see that he was some sort of a, you know, an expert in terms of getting into the interior. It just didn't happen. That's why those guys were in on rundowns. But you need those guys. So they don't have a ton of them, okay? They don't have a ton of them. So they'll get hard looks, and they'll get good looks, and they could stay. One of them, both of them, it'd be hard to tell. Both of them are young, so it's not like you've got anything to worry with that. You look at potential, you look at what they can do in training camp, and then you find out. So I don't – obviously, they're not going anywhere. But, you know, this will be a group, especially with these two, to watch in training camp because of the fact that you're going to see – free agents brought in, you're going to see draft picks brought in. Maybe one of them, both of them could be gone. I mean, I'm just giving you all the possibilities here. So we can't really say whether they'll be there in training camp or not, but you get what I'm getting at. So let's move on. Tyquan Lewis, obviously rookie, very versatile. He's going to be there for the future. I'm excited about him. The Colts should love what they've got in him. Danico Autry, 28 years old, you know, like I said, kind of on the back end, similar to Jabal Sheard. What's he going to bring, you know, next year? Is he going to bring kind of that same powerful, being able to split defender or offensive lineman and get into the quarterback, you know, having those really good games? Because he had some really good games this past year. Now, he had some games where he kind of disappeared a little bit. But some of his good games were excellent games. So that'll be something to watch going forward as well. I would presume that he'll be there. I presume that he'll play. I don't know that he'll start. That kind of all depends on what happens, you know, in this pivotal offseason. Because look, there's a lot of guys to be had out there in the free agency pool. There's no mistaking that. There are guys out there that can both be interior and exterior and edge rushers. These guys are going to be, you know, fun to watch. This free agency pool, whoever actually makes it to free agency, I guess I should say, because a lot of these guys, some of them anyhow, will probably be re-signed by their team. So a lot of these guys may not be available when it all comes out, but there is some real talent out there along the defensive line. And the draft is, from what I understand at least, a pretty high defensive line draft, a pretty well thought of group. So this will be interesting to see. And as we get further into this too, as well, a little bit further, probably towards the combine, we'll start talking to the guys doing our draft guide and their positionals and kind of see what they see in this. That'll give us a little bit clearer picture to begin with. So We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the NFL's free agency pool that the Colts are going to have to choose from to try to better this front line in the trenches. All right, guys, welcome back. Let's talk about what's on the market. I mean, there's some names. There's some production. And the good thing about it is there is some, I mean, there is some fun to look at these guys in some of their age groups. So let's dig into this. We're going to go straight to the top of this. And typically I try to look at those younger ages because I want to see what Chris Ballard is looking at. It's not age first, but, you know, production, is he a little bit this and that? But I think age is one of the top two. He just doesn't want to get – he doesn't want, especially now, this is not the time where Marcus Hunt was signed or Al Woods was signed or Jabal Sheard even was signed for that matter. Sheard was signed younger than the other two, but what I'm getting at is those two guys were last pieces that you kind of want to use to try to fill out the rest of the line and what you're doing defensively, whereas there is some 25, 26, 27-year-old guys in here that are still productive, massively productive in some cases, and could really bring a massive boost to what the Colts are doing. So let's, like I said, let's talk about it right off the jump. Frank Clark out of Seattle. This guy, in my opinion, is getting re-signed. He is an unrestricted free agent. I think that he would probably, with the success that some of the Seahawks, excuse me, had this year in spurts, I would presume that he would want to stay put. That's just my opinion, but it ultimately depends on what Seattle can do. If Seattle can't give this guy what he wants, because look, I mean, 14 sacks this year, almost 30 QB hits, 4 forced fumbles, and the dude played all season. What more do you want in a guy? And he also knows that he's going to be a hot ticket. He's got, if I'm not mistaken, if it's the same guy, he's got a sketchy past, but he is uber productive, man. So this may be a little bit of both. Are we talking about a guy who's going to come in here and just wreck other teams? Or are we talking about a guy who could come in here and potentially be a black eye on the Colts themselves? There has been some of that in his past. I believe that was from, I remember hearing that as he was being drafted. But man, look, I mean, you look at his numbers, and if you're talking about production, you're talking about what he could do for this defense. His numbers say a lot, and he could be a hot ticket if Seattle's not interested in bringing him back. DeMarcus Lawrence, really high-paid guy, okay? 27 years old, again, played all 16 games last year, 11 sacks. He had almost 25 quarterback hits, 3 forced fumbles, and he also had an interception. So you're looking at familiarity, obviously, Dallas's defense. The Colts obviously have done this with Eberflus, and you want a guy in there that can come off the edge, can play the run a little bit as well, and is familiar. But that is a heavy price tag for what he's going to be, you know, possibly getting. I mean, I don't see him being available to begin with, so I wouldn't worry much about it right now, but his number, in my opinion, would be just too much for the Colts. I just think, and I know the Colts have a ton of money. It just seems like when there's one of these extremes that falls into a player's category, whether it be they are exceedingly expensive or they are just a little old or they may be an issue, if there's something glaring with any of these guys, I don't know if Ballard would, you know, take the bait on them. So there's a couple different things with these top couple guys on this list in terms of sack production. So I don't know if either one of them will be available, and I also don't know if Chris Ballard would want either one of them. So this is going to be tricky. We're going to have to see what happens here because I know that the Colts are going to be more active in free agency. They know they've got to spend some money. Where Ballard sees the smart money will be super interesting to find out. So let's move on. One of the guys that I really like, I know that a couple other guys at Stampede Blue really like him as well. Trey Flowers from the Patriots played 15 games last year, almost 60 tackles, 8 sacks, 20 QB hits, a couple forced fumbles in there as well. So, I mean, this guy has been productive, and he's fun to watch, and I really have liked him. I thought that he was a guy who brought a lot. Now, he's a bit of a different defensive end as well, can kind of play in multiple spots, so you see the versatility with him, and you just kind of try to see, does he fit into the scheme right here? Because the scheme's going to kind of hold him in as, you know, it would hold him in as an edge rusher, as a run-stopping defensive end. And I just don't know if that's what the Colts are doing. I think he's an excellent player. I'd love if the Colts were to snatch him up. But I'd be very interested to see, you know, could he, and I don't want to say survive, but he's used to being moved around a little bit. So that would be kind of interesting for me to watch. Let's look at the next guy on here. I don't think that a lot of people know who this guy is. And I'm going to go ahead and admit that I'm one of them. Romeo Okwara, a 24-year-old defensive end from the Lions. Now, 40 tackles, 8 sacks, almost 15 quarterback hits this past year. This guy, 24 years old, he is a restricted free agent, but if the Lions don't ring him in, he is going to get snatched up quickly, in my opinion, on the open market. Too much potential, too young, nothing that I've heard of anyways in terms of character issues, so that would be, in my opinion, if pay attention to the Lions, and if they don't re-sign him or if they don't give him an offer that he wants, watch out. It'll be interesting to see the rest of the NFL in terms of what they're doing. Now, we've got a couple older guys here. Bruce Irvin, Henry Anderson, obviously is a free agent, former Colt. He had 7 sacks this year. It's kind of interesting. Does he fit, you know, would the Colts take a minimal contract with him to bring him back, because he moved pretty well into a 4-3, in my opinion. He wasn't what the Colts were wanting. I don't expect him to be now, but I mean, you can see that he could play. There are some other guys that are really old in here as well. Cameron Wake, that's not happening. You know, then you get down to like a guy like Grady Jarrett in Atlanta. 6 sacks on the year, over 50 tackles, 17 quarterback hits, very active, caused a few forced fumbles as well. That's a guy who's an unrestricted guy. This would be very interesting as a defensive tackle to watch. This will be one I'm watching, and I think that most Colts fans and a lot of fans, and for that matter, around the NFL will be watching. If he can sustain and if he can bring what he's brought in Atlanta to the Colts' interior defense could be fantastic, could be a massive uptick in their potential and production as far as I'm concerned. Definitely a guy who's a threat. He would be a lot of fun to kind of watch and see how that would play out. Moving through the rest of this list, I mean, you've got really a ton of guys, you know, outside, and I'm kind of going to skip over. I mean, Sheldon Richardson's there. I don't see that happening just personally. Maybe it could. I don't know. It just seems like you try to excommunicate, so to speak, any of these more than 30-year-olds and as well some guys, you know, well, like I said, with some issues in their past. So, I mean, look at a guy like probably underrated, Brandon Copeland. Played all season, 5 sacks last year, 14 quarterback hits. He was active. 28, do they do it? I don't know. Moving along, Isaac Rochelle, 5 sacks last year, 7 quarterback hits, played all 16 games, probably not in terms of consistency, very aggressive. And he's also an exclusive rights guy, so the Chargers basically hold all the, you know, marbles for him. Dante Fowler, very interesting that he is on the open market. And 25 years old, 4 sacks this year, kind of came along later, wasn't a real impact guy, but made some really big plays for LA down the stretch. Obviously, it's a different defense, but Fowler was drafted into a 4-3, you know, base. So, I mean, it would be, you know, kind of interesting to see if the Colts might take a flyer on his talent and youth as well. A bunch of guys along this 4 sack line here. Several of them, you know, within the 25, 26-year-old range. Darius Philon, Christian Covington, you know, these guys were pretty active. Most of them played, you know, at least most or if not all of the season. Aaron Lynch out of Chicago. You know, these guys a little bit further down, Marcus Golden. And then they've got Jihad Ward and some of those other guys there that are already for the Colts. But there is a big mix, and I mean a big mix, of contributors, guys who can make instant impacts. And I think, I really believe that we could see a couple moves in free agency along this defensive line. The Colts need it. They need an uptick. They need a surge of both power and speed. They've got that building right now, but they've got to find guys who can both be power and both in speed at the same time. They've got to find some power guys and some speed guys, but they've got to find guys that they can move around who can do both, who can be outside and be on the interior, make an impact in both spots. Those are the guys who are going to get the hard looks. Now, with this free agency pool, like I said, you've got plenty of guys in here that could be legitimately good signings for the Colts. But you've also got a really, from what we see, a pretty impressive defensive line group in the draft. It would be nice to see the Colts supplement with a couple real solid signings with free agency. And then, you know, do what you want in the draft with this front line. But, man, you can get a playmaker out of this draft without question. I think this is going to be one of the Colts' most improved spots next year because of the talent that I presume that they're going to have. They have all the ability in the world right now and through this offseason to dramatically improve their defensive line. If they don't, next year we'll hear Chris Ballard saying the same thing about the defensive line that he did about the offensive line in his first year as GM. He didn't address it. And if he doesn't address it in this free agency pool when he's got an ass load of money, this is going to be, that'd be a massive fail in my opinion. I mean, that would be great. Go through the entire draft, hit four or five, or, you know, three or four maybe defensive linemen of sorts. But, man, that's a lot of draft picks on one specific position. That's a lot of trust in your drafting process, a lot of trust. And you're basically just saying we're not going to spend money on young guys who have real good potential. And I don't think that's Ballard's deal. So, I would look for the Colts to make a few moves, a couple at least, in free agency. Maybe a couple, and I wouldn't say big names, but maybe a couple of the larger signings here, of the more productive guys. So that would be one group. This would be one group where I think we're going to see a lot of talk about the Colts. Once free agency really kicks off, we're going to hear the Colts could be interested in him as well. There's a lot of interest, in my opinion, in this group. And this, like I said, this should be one of the Colts, if not the Colts, most improved areas in their defense and probably in their entire roster next year. So this is going to be a fun group to watch. There's a couple others defensively that we'll talk about here shortly. We'll get to the linebackers, the safeties, the corners. We're going to get to it all. And then we're going to talk a little bit in general after we do the positional breakdowns about free agency in general. We'll get some guys in here to talk about who we see as potential guys who could actually hit the market. Some guys will be re-signed, you know, before then. So we'll talk about that. And then we're going to find out, you know, who's basically going to be available. That'll be fun to talk about as well. But until then, we're going to get these positional breakdowns done and kind of, you know, I'm just giving my opinion here on where I see maybe not a weakness. I think the Colts defensive line was better this past year than it's been. They were obviously better against the run. They were better at times in getting pressure on the quarterback, but they're definitely nowhere near where they need to be, especially for this defense to thrive. And that's what they have to do. They've got to thrive by getting the pressure up front so that the back end can make their can complete and continue their coverages in order to make this defense exactly what it's going to be built to do. So this will be a fun group to watch. So thank you guys all for listening. Like I said, we'll get to the linebackers, safeties, and corners coming up after that. And, you know, we've got an interesting offseason here for the Indianapolis Colts and the Bears. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast.
It's
that pea blue.